بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It gives me great pleasure to be with you in this evening to discuss about an important subject, and that is Tawheed, oneness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This subject, though, looks very simple and easy because everybody believes that Allah is one and is existing. I mean, every believer I am not talking of those who do not believe in God, but the believer generally, they believe that. But if we see the believers, how they differed on this subject, we know that it is not clear for them. Well, maybe the Buddhists, the Hindu, they believe, but their belief in God is not very clear. Even among the Christians, the same, they believe in God but believe in a Trinity. The Muslims also, they differ in their belief about Tawheed into many groups. Some, they believe God has like a body, has an organs, head, chest, limbs, and so on. So they were divided into Asha'ira, Mu'tazila, Jahmiyyah, Khawarij, and so many other ways of beliefs. So it shows that how the people are not very clear about Tawheed. And when they go into details of Tawheed, they do mistakes because they have not taken it from Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim. Now if we take it from Ahlul Bayt, they explain the Holy Quran very well to us, and then we will not go wrong about it. Tawheed, to make it clear, I give a full classification of subjects under Tawheed, though I may have time to discuss some of them. Actually, Tawheeds are of many types. First, we call Tawheed al-Dhat, that essence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and that is, there is no similar to him, and his essence is simple. We'll discuss that in detail later on. The second one is Tawheed al-Sifat, and that is, the Sifat al-Thubutiyya is Aynu Zatihi. They are the same as his essence, not an additional part of him. And the third one is Tawheed in Af'al, in whatever happening, in causes in the universe. So that means there is Tawheed in Khaliqiyya, means the Creator is one, and Tawheed in Rububiyya and Tadbir, that the one who is running affairs of the universe is also one, not many, not one God for good, one God for evil, and there are two gods. There is only one God, and everything is run by his own order. There is no other than him. And the fourth type of Tawheed, we call Tawheed in Ibadah. To worship is to worship one, not more than one, and that is to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is another type of Tawheed. And the fifth type of Tawheed is Tawheed fi al-Wilaya al-Tashri'iyya, means the legislative authority. The legislator who makes the law for the human being in this life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only legislator. The human being is not capable to do his own laws, which will benefit him in this world as well as in the hereafter. And the legislator has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Tawheed in legislation will bring us to Tawheed in Shari'at, that we say we have to follow a religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also Tawheed in obedience, in ta'a, and also Tawheed in Hakimiyyah, the government and the ruler is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Almighty, and he is the ruler of the universe, and whoever get authority will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah give authority to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives authority to the Imam, and Imam will rule all with the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are some other types of tawheed, like tawheed in hidayah, in guidance, tawheed in malikiyah, in ownership, tawheed in raziqiyah, the rizq will come only from Allah. Tawheed in shafa'ah, the shafa'ah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala independently, then Allah will give permission to the Prophet or to Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim to do intercession. They do not do intercession out of Allah, independent of Allah. No, that is of course is against Tawheed and it is not correct. We believe Ahlul Bayt are authorized by Allah to have intercession. So those who say intercession is not correct, is not there, actually they did not understand the meaning of intercession that we believe in it. We say intercession basically, fundamentally, is only for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will permit the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the Day of Judgment to do intercession for the believers, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give that permission to other prophets to intercede for their nations who believe, and will give that authority to Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim, and then gradually that authority will be given to mu'mineen, and in some traditions that the minimum a mu'min will intercede is 80 people or 40 people, as in different traditions has come. So it is shafa'ah. That is also with me, tawheed and shafa'ah. So you see that everything actually will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, in short, we should not think that in this world any ruler, any governor, any rizq coming, any effect, any cause, any law, anything comes other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, when you say the causes and effect, Now, sometimes we may go wrong. Now, if you are thirsty and you drink water, you say the water removed my thirst. Well, it is true if you think the water is an intermediate cause, but the real cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, that water will not relieve your thirst. So to think that the water independently will relieve your thirst is shirk, actually, because you are having two causes. One cause is Allah, one cause is water independently working, or food independently relieves my hunger, for example. So these are causes, but the real cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He permitted these things to have this effect. So the water will be a cause to relieve my thirst. If Allah wants to stop it, He can stop it right away. Like we say the fire is burning, but when Allah wanted to stop it for His Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, then the fire did not burn him. So still the causes are in hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see the matter is very deep. Now each one of these types of tawheed need a separate discussion and a long discussion to elaborate it in detail. And what we see sometimes, the Wahhabis may attack Shias, they go for Ahlul Bayt, for Ziyarat, and so on, that is against Tawheed. Actually, they did not realize what we say, that Imams, if they help, their help is not independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but is by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah permitted the water to relieve my thirst, Allah permitted the doctor to give medicine so the patient will be alright. If Allah wants, He can stop that effect and the medicine will have no effect. So it is by permission of Allah. Now Ahlul Bayt have a position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if they ask Allah for something, Allah will respond to them, so they can do things not independent of Allah but by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why the confusion comes. You know, all is about Tawheed. You know, if one knows Tawheed in detail, he knows all other parts of Islam in much better way and in a correct way. However, for this session, we are going to discuss about Tawheed al-Dhat and partly of Tawheed al-Sifat because the time will not permit us to go into details for all types of Tawheed. What we mean Tawheed al-Dhat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and unique, and that is Wahidun Ahad. And we see in Surah Al-Tawheed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Ahad is not Wahid, Ahad is unique, Wahid is one. So he is one and unique. Now what do we mean by one and unique? The one means theoretically one is a number. So one may have two, may have three, may have four. But Allah is not such one that there is possibility to have two or three. It is impossible to have two or three for Allah. Allah is one, such type of one that there is no second for Him. Also one, you may imagine a second one. Sometimes there is one, there is no another one in the world about it. For example, the Tower of Eiffel in Paris, for example, it is unique in the world. There is no such another tower practically, but theoretically you can imagine a second one or a third one. Or you see the top of Everest mountain in Himalaya mountains, it is only one in the world, but you can imagine another one like that top. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that we cannot, in reality there is no another one, there is no two, no three for Him, but also in imagination we cannot imagine a second one for Him. So that is the depth of understanding the meaning of one. So one, wahidun la sharika lah, one that has no partner, no second one, neither second one in reality nor in even imagination can be imagined to have a second one, is one and the absolute one and the only one. And when we say ahad, ahad is unique, means ahadun la shabiha lahu, there is no similar to him. That is why unique, he is such a one that he is unique and no similar to him. When you say no similar to him, that you cannot imagine any other one who has the same characters or attributes like Allah to be a second Allah. So we cannot imagine one Allah is for good, one for evil, as some believes. We cannot imagine that. There is no second one similar to him, because he is such one who is unique one and cannot have a similar one. And when the second ayah is Allahu Samad. Samad means full inside, there is no hollow in it. You see the ball, for example, inside is air, there is hollow. But if it is full from steel, for example, no hollow in it, this is called samad. When we say it is no hollow in it, means there is no parts in it. And no parts here, now we are going to discuss in about Sifatullah, that the Sifat are not additional parts. There is no parts in Allah. Allah is one and simple one, which has no parts within it. Of course, the other meaning of Samad is the self-dependent or independent of any other one. And the third meaning, that everything is dependent on Him. That is also one of the meanings of Samad. It is said for the head of the tribe that everybody comes and will become his guest, and he is independent of the people. The people needs him. It's called as Sayyid As-Samad. Means he is such independent person that everybody is in need of him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything in the universe is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. We cannot imagine anyone, neither a human being nor animal nor malaika, jinn, ins, the universe, the satellite, galaxies, all are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the laws of the world are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the causes to have its effect are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Allah Samad. That lam yalid, well, he did not give birth, because the birth means something similar will be separated, but we said Allah, nothing can be separated from him to give birth. And he was not born, وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, he was not born because he is eternal, and before him there is nobody to give birth to him, and no similar to him to give birth to him. So we cannot imagine that. And at the end, the surah said, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ, and there were no one similar to him at all. Nothing similar. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, as in the Holy Quran in Surah Shura, Ayah 11. Nothing similar to him, and he is all hearing and all seeing. And the other translation, not nothing similar to him, nothing similar to his similar. Because ka mithlihi, kaf in Arabic means similar, mithlihi is also similar. The Holy Quran could say, laysa mithlahu shay, laysa mithlahu shay means nothing similar to him. But laysa ka mithlihi shay means nothing similar to his similar. And that to make the possibility much more remote. If, I mean, you cannot imagine similar to Allah, and if there is similar to Allah, anything, you can, just for sake of argument, there is something similar to Allah, to that similar to Allah, there is nothing similar to him. So if nothing similar to the similar of Allah, naturally, nothing will be similar to Allah himself. So to make it more remote possibility that it is impossible. So with that, nothing similar, because Allah is his essence and his that is such that cannot have any similar to him, and his wahadun ahad, a unique one, no other one similar to him, and unique one that we cannot imagine other one for him. Well, the proofs that for that Allah is one, and that because he is the total existence, and total existence cannot be divided, because the division will have a limit. There is a border. When you say two, means one will end, the second one will start. So the first one is limited when the second one will start. You put two together, each one has a limit. Otherwise, if they are at the same place, at the same time, at the same thing, so they are one, not two. When you say they are two, means there is some part of them separate. So there is a limit, there is a border. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that thing is not possible to imagine, that there is a limit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The border means space. And Allah is beyond need of a space. And if he has a space, he needs time. And Allah is beyond the need for time. He is the creator of time, he is the creator of space. So we cannot imagine any time or any space for him. So that means there is no limit, no border for him. And we see Imam Ali alayhi salam has explained this beautiful in the first sermon of Nahj al-Balagha. He said, the perfection of testifying him is to believe in his oneness. وَكَمَالُ تَصْدِيقُ بِهِ تَوْحِيدُهُ وَكَمَالُ تَوْحِيدِهِ الْإِخْلَاصُ لَهُ. The perfection of believing in his oneness is to regard him a pure. وَكَمَالُ الْإِخْلَاصُ, now to have sincere belief about Allah, is what? وَكَمَالُ الْإِخْلَاصُ لَهُ نَفْيُ الصِّفَاتِ عَنْهُ. And the perfection of his purity is to deny him attributes. Why to deny him attributes? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, لِشِهَادَةِ كُلِّ صِفَةِ أَنَّهَا غَيْرُ الْمَوْصُوفِ. Because every attribute is a proof that it is different from that to which it is attributed. Now when you say, I am a doctor, so I is something and doctor is additional to me. I am beautiful, I is one and beautiful is additional to me. I am tall, I am something, and tall is something else. So any attribute is different from the one which is it is attributed to it. So that means there is no attribute additional to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot have that type of attributes. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam said, فَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَقَدْ قَرَنَ. Thus, whoever attaches attributes to Allah recognizes his like. Because if you say attributes, mean there is somebody similar to him, like him. And who recognizes his like regards him too. فَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَقَدْ قَرَنَ وَمَنْ قَرَنَهُ فَقَدْ ثَنَى. If you put another one like him, then you make him them two. Allah is one and the second attribute is another one. وَمَنْ ثَنَّاهُ فَقَدْ جَزَّهُ. And who regards him too recognizes parts for him. When you say two, then there are two parts. One part here, one part there. وَمَنْ جَزَّاهُ فَقَدْ جَهِلَهُ. And he who recognizes parts for him mistook him, or جَهِلَهُ, ignored him, did not understand him really. وَمَنْ جَهِلَهُ فَقَدْ أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ. And who mistook him pointed at him. وَمَنْ أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ فَقَدْ حَدَّهُ. And he who pointed at him admitted limitations for him. You see, admitted limitation. When he is there, he is in front of me, then there is a limit in front of me. وَمَنْ حَدَّهُ فَقَدْ عَدَّهُ. And he who admitted limitations for him numbered him. He put a number, he is one, and there is another one. That is why when you say that we cannot see God neither in this world nor in the hereafter, as our Sunni brothers, they have certain traditions, said the believers will see Almighty God in the Day of Judgment. We say even in Day of Judgment he is beyond vision, cannot be seen. If you see him, then he is a body, and he is not a body. If you see him, then he will be in one side, while Allah is everywhere. And the eye will see only the physical things. Allah is not physical. So you see, that is not possible to be seen. However, in Nahj al-Balagha, a lot of more details, maybe the time is tight to discuss all the details. But what I mean, that is how we believe in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when you say the tawheed of attributes, we mean tawheed of attributes of essence. These attributes of essence that we say Allah is eternal, Allah is alive, Allah is all knowing, and Allah is has the qudra, the might. These are attributes of his essence, dhatul ilahiyya. Now, these attributes does not mean they are additional or they are different from each other. Because if you say the knowledge of Allah is different from his might, means there are two parts. One part for knowledge, one part for might. Like when we imagine for a human being, a human being will see, but will see with the eye, and we hear with the ear. The ear is different from the eye. So each organ is for one activity. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not like that, because that will make divisions in the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say essence of Allah cannot accept any divisions. So we say these attributes are all one, not divided. To make it simple for understanding, if you give attributes to someone, that someone is standing below the tree, on his right side is a house, on his left side is a garage, in front of him is a car, on the back side of him are people moving. Now, that person, is he five types or is he one? Naturally he is one, but you give five descriptions for him. These all descriptions describe one entity, not five, but from different aspects. Now, when you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Qayyum, self-subsistent, as in Ayat al-Kursi, we say Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. He is alive and he is self-subsistent, like Almighty. He has all the power as Qayyum. So that necessitates that he knows everything, and he is alive, and he is eternal. So all these are descriptions of one essence, not many, not to be divided into many, it is only one. That how to be understood. So that is in short about sifat al-dhat. Now the other attributes, that attributes of his, what you call his beauty, or the positive attributes or the negative attributes, that are the other types. Some are attributes of his deeds, like he give rizq, we say he is Razzaq, or he is creator, and so on. But the positive attributes and negative attributes, these are going to be discussed into another session. I am not going to go into details for that. Now about the main attributes of essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said he is alive, he is eternal, and he is not material. He is one and unique. Here I need to discuss a little more, because that is important to understand it in a better way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, is not a material, immaterial. Now what is the difference between material things and immaterial things? There are actually four differences. The material things need time, the immaterial does not need time. The material things needs space, immaterial does not need space. The material things will change its shape by time, the immaterial will not change by time. The material things can be divided into parts, the immaterial cannot be divided into parts. Now I give small example for sake of understanding this. Though whatever example we give, it cannot be similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just to make the idea clear, I give the example between a brain as a physical organ in the head and reason or aql, intelligence. Now these two are existing. The brain needs a space. You say the size of the brain or weight of the brain is this much, 10 centimeter by 20 centimeter by 5 centimeter, whatever it is, you can give its size. But can you give a size for reason, that your aql is what is its size? You can say the brain is, you can put the brain of the sheep, for example, the cow or the sheep, on one plate, and one brain will fill one plate. But can you say one plate will carry how many aql in it? It will be filled by 10, 20, 50, 1,000, how much aql you can put, how much reason you can put to fill one plate. You know, you cannot discuss in that way, because it is beyond need for space, not something which can be calculated by space. Also, you see, the brain needs time because it's a physical body, but something which does not need space is beyond time. As you know, time is formed by movement of space. So if something out of space, is out of time as well. Also, the brain will change by time. For the child, the brain was small, then will increase in size, and when he dies will get disintegrated and will finish, for example. So it change by time, while reason is reason. 50 years before and 50 years to come, reason is reason, will not change by time. And the brain can be divided. You can divide half a brain, quarter brain, you can divide it into 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. But reason, you cannot say put half reason on right side, half reason on left side. Reason is reason, you cannot divide it on into two parts, you know. So you see, that is the difference between material and immaterial. So we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immaterial. If he's immaterial, we cannot imagine parts for him, because we say parts are for material things. We cannot imagine Allah will change in his nature, because we say immaterial will not change. So the meaning is very delicate, you know. When you say Allah sometimes is satisfied about mu'mineen, rida of Allah about mu'mineen, or ghadab, anger of Allah for non-believers. Now that does not mean Allah, for 1 hour he is happy because of this mu'min, so you see sign of happiness. And next time you see sign of anger because some non-believer did a wrong thing. So Allah change in his shape, one time is happy, one time is angry. No, there is no change, no change in Allah. So what we understand, the meaning of anger of Allah means Allah will allow the side effect of our works to happen. So we'll be punished with whatever we are doing. Permission of Allah for that is his anger. And that shows that Allah is angry because Allah will allow us to go to hellfire because we were, God forbid, non-believer or bad people. And the satisfaction of Allah means the effect of satisfaction, and that is the believers will go to paradise. So what is going to happen shows satisfaction and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that Allah will change his state. In one state he is happy, in one state he is angry. No, not like us. There is no emotion with Allah to say his mood is changing depending on a'mal of the people. No. So you see, the pure meaning of Tawheed is in that way. That there is no change because Allah, as we said, cannot be divided, will not change, and will remain as he is, because he is wajibul wujud. That is again another important point. Existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an essential part of his essence, not additional to him. Now what is essential, what is additional here? Essential are such attributes which cannot be taken from the thing. Like you say the water is wet. Now can you take the wetness from the water so the water will not be wet? Not possible. Then if he's become ice, is not water. Or if you boil him and become a humidity, then is not a water. If it is water, then water has to be wet. But if my hand is wet, you can say why my hand is wet. Because my hand originally, essentially, is dry. If it is wet, so I say, well, it get some water was poured on it and become wet by that water. So the essential attributes are part of the essence. Now, I am existing, or this world around me all is existing, or heaven and earth is existing. All these existing things, they can be non-existing, not existing, possible. But their existence is not essential. Their existence is additional to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the things to be existing, so he gave them existence and all became existing. But for that is what we call contingent, because they came into existence at a certain time. Contingent. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say Allah is eternal. Eternal means there is no time where Allah was not existing and then he came into existence. If you think infinity of time, even before time, because time was created, when the matter was created, by movement of the matter, then the time came into being. So the space and the time both were created by Allah. Allah is beyond time and beyond space. And that is what we mean, he is eternal. He is not contingent, he is eternal. And he is self-existent, means his existence is from him, not from outside. That is why always he was existing. We cannot imagine a time when he was not existing, then he came into existence. So the question which usually people put, who, if everything needs a creator, then who created Allah? We say, no, Allah does not need a creator. Everything that is possible existence needs a creator. But the things who are self-existing, they do not need a creator, because the attribute of existence is not additional from their essence, is part of their essence. Like we say, we cannot say who made the water wet or liquid. The water by definition has to be liquid. Now if something solid and become liquid, you say why it became liquid, then you say okay, it was by heat and effect of heat made it liquid. But if something is originally liquid, you will not say why it is liquid, because that is part of its nature, not additional attribute to it. So you see that it's a very delicate point to be understood. Now, these two attributes are important to remember when we discuss with the Christians about the Trinity. First, Allah is eternal, and we say Allah will not change, because Allah is not immaterial, is immaterial, will not change. Now, when they say that God is made of three parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three parts are united in divine shape and divided in their earthy form or physical form, we say the three cannot be divided and united, because you say Allah is one, there is no hollow in it, no part in it. If you say there are three, the nature of Allah is a three, means there is a limit between each part, between one part and the second part, there is a limit, a border. A limit means necessitate space, and space necessitate time, and division is part of material things. So you change Allah to material and you say Allah is immaterial. So that is not possible to say Allah is made of three. The idea of a Trinity is not possible, because we believe in Tawheed. Allah is one. If we say Allah in His essence can be made of three, means we make him like material things, because you say the material things can be divided, material things can change their form. So at time Allah was alone, then He sent His Son, and then He got incarnation with the physical body of the Son, so there is a change from Allah. We say Allah will not change. You see importance of the point that Allah will not change. Change is attribute of material things. Allah is not material. Allah will not change. And also the unity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be in through incarnation into body of the Jesus Christ, as the Christians describe it, that means Allah is not eternal. This is a new form comes. Before Allah was not united, now is united. Before Allah was not incarnated, now become incarnated. So this is contingent state, not eternal condition. And we say Allah is eternal. Allah is not contingent. So it is important to understand that point. And also we say Allah has no limit, no space. We cannot limit Allah to a space. So if we say Allah is incarnated in body of Jesus Christ, means we limit Allah to this body. If this body lives in Palestine, then Allah is limited to Palestine. And we say the immaterial things cannot be placed in a place. There's no way you can put them to say they are in this place or in that place. No, it is not possible. So all these points of discussion, you know, comes when we say that we believe in a pure tawheed, a pure oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has no parts, no similar. If the Son or the Holy Spirit is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will not be unique. We say there is no similar to Him. Actually, because His existence is mutlaq. Mutlaq means total, not limited. When the existence of something is total, it means you cannot imagine another one, because whatever you imagine, it will be ultimately the same. I give a physical example just to elaborate this point. If there is a small fountain and it is full of water, now if it is full of water, if you want to imagine another water in this fountain, can you imagine it? Naturally not, because this water filled this fountain. Now if you want to imagine a water to fill the fountain, then you have to imagine the same water. The space is only for one type of water, one size of water. If you get another water, it will be the same, will not be different. You see, of course this is a limit, this is a fountain, Allah is unlimited. what I mean, if Allah is al-haq, al-haq means the truth. Truth means there is no falsehood. One of the falsehoods is there is somewhere Allah is not there. So there you put a limit, a border. Allah is here, is not there. So that is a limit. We cannot imagine that. So when Allah is all over, هو الله في الأرض وفي السماء وفي الأرض. He is Allah in heaven, in earth. He is Rahman in heaven, Rahman in earth. So if He is in heaven, in earth, and everywhere, and nowhere is empty of His presence, then another one, where it will come? The other one, there is no point to come. There is no place for another one to come. This one is everywhere, and there is no limit. Is unlimited in His existence. So we cannot imagine another one unlimited. If theoretically, for sake of argument, we have to imagine another one unlimited, then it will be the same one, because unlimited is only one. The second one will be the same unlimited one. So that is what we say, that the pure tawheed, that we say there is no parts. Even within Allah cannot imagine parts, because Allah is what you call simple sometimes, basit. That is a word, means there is no part in it, is immaterial. He is one and absolute in His oneness, and His existence covers everything and everywhere. He is actually the real true existence, al-haq. Other than Allah, all dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on their existence. If Allah will take the existence from them, everything will perish. So everything depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a pure meaning of tawheed. So He is one and the only one, and the only God or Allah available. As you know, Allah is a word in Arabic that cannot be translated to any other language. It is a unique name for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God, it means Rabb, not Allah. Allah has no translation. Any other word will not mean Allah. Maybe Ilah, or maybe Rabb, or other thing, but that is different from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is a unique in Arabic language, which has no translation in other languages. The Lord is Rabb, for example, or the, when you say God, maybe like Ilah in Arabic, not Allah. Ilah, not Allah, because in Allah there is no plural and no feminine and masculine to Allah. While Rabb, there is Rabbe and Rabb, there is feminine and there is masculine, and can be used for other than Allah. We say the housewife, Rabbatul Bayt, for example. The head of the village, Rabbul Qariya, is used for others, Rabb. So in English also, God and Goddess, there is a male and feminine usage and masculine usage. However, so when we say Allah, we mean only it's pointing to the essence of Almighty Allah or Almighty God, that nothing simulate Him, no partner, no imaginary partner, no parts, no divisions. Even His attributes, the essential attributes, are the same as His essence, and all the attributes are actually one, not a divided attributes, and has no divisions. He is the eternal. He cannot be divided by any way. Cannot be incarnated into anything. Cannot be limited to any space or any locations or any time. His existence is self-existing, not additional or given to Him by any other one, because He is eternal. Eternal in English means has no beginning and no end. In Arabic they use two words, you know, Qadim and Sarmadi, or Al-Azali and Sarmadi. But in English, eternal means both, no beginning and no end. So that is how we understand the pure Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, when we come to certain ayahs of the Holy Quran, which say Yadullahi fawqa aydihim, here not the hand means physical hand of Allah is above their hands. The hand here, it means the might, the power of Allah is above their power. Or la yadumu illa wajhuh, nothing will remain except his face. His face, not that the physical face, because we said God has no physical face. Even the Holy Quran says لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. If God has face, then there will be contradiction in Quran. What actually the Hanbalis believe, that Allah has face, but we don't know what type of face he has. But because in Quran he said he has a face, so we believe he has a face. No, we say if he has a face, then there is similar to him. And Allah says in Quran there is nothing similar to him. If we understand face as a physical face, then a lot of creatures are similar to him, and there will be contradiction in Quran. So when we take an ayah that nothing similar to Allah, with the ayah nothing will remain except to his face, it means not a physical face, means nothing will remain except what has been done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His face means for his sake, because that is the good deeds. If we do good deeds for other than Allah, that becomes shirk or riya, and that will not be accepted, will not remain, will finish. But anything done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purely for his sake, that will remain, and that has its good effect in the day of judgment, and we'll go to paradise with our good deeds which were done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on in other ayahs of the Holy Quran, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ. They said, faces in that day, in the day of judgment, they are bright, shiny, happy. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ, looking to their Lord. Now looking, that is why the Hanbalis, they said, means we, the believers, will see their Lord, will see Allah in the day of judgment because of this ayah. But this ayah is not translated. Looking to their Lord means looking to the mercy of their Lord, to the forgiveness of their Lord. Because the believers is expecting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him in paradise. So he is looking to the mercy of Allah, and he is expecting that. So this is the meaning of ayah. Not looking that he is seeing Allah, because you say Allah is not a physical body to be seen by the eye. If they say we see by heart, okay, even in dunya we see Allah by heart. When we believe in Allah, means our heart see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not our eye, because he is not a physical body. I think this is in short about Tawheed and some of the proofs about Tawheed. There are a lot of details, but I think the time is over. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد.